Stem cell science is changing medicine and our understanding of human development. Learn more with the Stem Cell Channel. Visit uctv.tv/stemcell.
All right. Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for coming. And I would like to take this opportunity also to thank the whole Sanford Stem Cell Institute team for putting this all together and bringing us all together to celebrate the beautiful things about stem cells. Because today, all of us in this room are the youngest we will ever be again. And if we are lucky enough, we will all age. But what if aging is not inevitable? What if we could grow old with time, but not really be worried about age-related disorders and diseases? So my name is Shiri. I'm an assistant professor at the Division of Regenerative Medicine at UC San Diego School of Medicine. And today I would like to discuss with you the unique approach that we're taking in my laboratory to make that question of living a healthy life for as long as possible to become a question of when and not just a question of if. And so let me just start by something that I find to be truly fascinating is the ability of our body to regenerate itself. It has a remarkable ability to regenerate itself. And in fact, every day we are losing and replacing billions of cells. And this is completely normal. The way that I like to think about it is that we all know how we woke up this morning, but we must have changed several times since then at the cellular level. We are not the same person anymore, right? Think about it. Every one of your organs, as we speak, is constantly regenerating. Some organs replace themselves very fast, like the intestine in the gut or our skin. Some organs replace themselves very slow, like the muscles. But the key player in this regenerative process are our stem cells in our body. And stem cells are not residing by themselves. They're not just doing what they're supposed to do by themselves. They're surrounded by multiple types of stem cells for other cells, stem cells and other cells as well. And they're receiving multiple cues that tells them what to do and when to do, when and where to regenerate a tissue. Think about it like a seed, even the driest seed, if you put it in the right soil, in the right, giving the right nutrients, the right amount of moist and the right amount of light, it will regenerate and produce the flowers. Very similarly, also our stem cells, they reside in areas that we called or termed niches. And those niches produce all the good stuff that stem cells need or telling the stem cells when and where to produce a tissue. So one way to think about it is that our stem cells are very unique because they have the ability to make more of themselves, to self-renew and to maintain their pool of stem cells in our body. But they can also create the tissue. And in order to do that, they are exposed to multiple types of signals that can come from blood vessels, nerve fibers. They can come from the mature tissue in which they reside in, immune cells, if we are exposed to infection. All of those signals can really tell each and every one of those stem cells at different points or different places in the tissue what exactly to produce, which cell to produce, how much to produce of that in order to create a tissue. And so from a single stem cell, we can actually rebuild an organ at the end of the day. So stem cells hold the power of regeneration, but stem cells can age. So if you already passed the age of 25, I think you can agree with me that regeneration is an arrow with a one negative direction. We all going to age, and it takes more and more time for stem cells to do what they used to do very, very efficiently. But what if it's not inevitable? What if those stem cells will be tricked to think that they're actually young, to do exactly what they were supposed to do, what they used to do when we were young? In order for us to answer those questions and to dive into the problem of what is happening to the stem cells and if we can trick them to think if they're young for a longer time, We need to first figure out how do we know that we are aging, because none of us have those special glasses to look inside of our tissues and look at our gut and say, oh, today did not regenerate very fast, or our lungs did not do their what they're supposed to be today, right? So, but there's one organ in our body that each and every one of you look right in the morning when you're waking up and going to wash your face, and this is your skin. The largest organ of our body. And if I'll ask each and every one of you, who is the old person and who is the young person in this picture, everyone will be able to address that. And the reason is that you can see the fine line, the texture, the color of the hair, the wounds that didn't heal, right? All of that is very clear for us that something is happening. So how fast are we aging? Right? How fast can we actually, or our skin actually age? It turns that when we're young, when we're babies, we can replace our skin very fast. Within 2 weeks, we have a completely new skin. And I think every parent here in the audience can test that, you know, if their kids had a scratch or something like that, within a few days, that it was completely gone. But as we grow older and older, those small scratches are no longer small scratches, and it takes more and more time for them to heal and to close the wound. And the real problem of this is that those small little wounds can turn to be chronic wounds that simply never heals. And that's really the real problem, because if you think about the amount of people in the United States with chronic wounds, exceed the number of people that suffer from breast cancer, lung cancer, and colon cancer combined. It's a lot of people, and it's a major health burden. We know that chronic wound disease will usually be more in older patients, and we do see within the past 5 years more and more people suffering from chronic wound diseases. So we need a better solution. We need to better understand how we can make those stem cells do what they're supposed to do. And ever since I was a little girl, I was always intrigued by the things that are hidden from the naked eye. The fact that I don't see doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, right? And so in my laboratory, we are using the microscope that enables us to see cells at the cellular level. What are they doing? When are they doing it? And really zooming in on those stem cells that regenerate our tissues. Now, if I will ask each and every one of you to look at the palm of your hand or the back of your hand, you won't see much moving, right? You will see your hand, but nothing more than that. But through the microscope, we can see our stem cells, those that reside really, really deep in our tissues, they are moving a lot. They're constantly active. They are talking with each other. They're almost as if they're dancing with each other, sensing each other to make sure that our tissues are constantly regenerating and constantly repairing what needs to be repaired. So your tissues are definitely not static. And thinking about the skin as the largest organ of our body, it's also the largest home for the multiple types of stem cells. It's a home for the epidermal stem cells that will create your skin. It's a home for melanocyte stem cells that will create the color of our hair, the color of our skin. It's also a home for the hair follicle stem cells that will create, in my view at least, beautiful structures of the hair follicle. And so if we look at those hair follicles as a mini organ that exists in each and every one of our skin, we can see that when we're young, the hair follicle will spend about half of their time in the resting phase and then half of their time in a more active phase. As we grow older and older, those hair follicles will spend less and less of their time on the growth phase. And I think, you know, a lot of people can feel this on their own body, that their hair is not growing as fast as it used to be. So those dynamics in rest to activation is not only true in aging, but it's also actually true for many types of different stressors. We know that when we are stressed, it's a common belief that we are starting to lose the pigments of our hair and we're turning gray. We know, or every woman that ever had was pregnant will say that that was the best time of her life, that her hair grew as beautiful as possible. We also know that when we don't sleep as much, our skin looks dull and not as bright as it used to be, right? All of those things is things that you can wake up in the morning and clearly see, okay, something is happening. And maybe what we are actually seeing on the surface of our skin is actually a mirror to our internal organs, because again, we don't have that magical glasses to tell us, oh, our internal organs and our other important organs are not regenerating to the same extent. So in my lab, we're trying to take a unique approach by asking how all of those systemic changes and those systemic, if we slept enough or if we, what we ate, if we're stressed, how the stem cells can know all of those systemic changes. And the unique approach is that we are looking at the stem, at the connection between stem cells to their vascular system, because the vascular system is actually connecting all of our body together. It creates a network in our body that can transfer information from one site to the other. And it's really a good model to study how stem cells feel that stress. So usually when I talk about the vascular system, most of you guys be probably thinking about the blood vascular system, which is true. This is a system that will carry blood and nutrients into the tissues. But we also have one more vascular system that is less studied, and this is the lymphatic vascular system. And the lymphatic system, although less studied, is very, very important, because as we have the blood circulatory system that will transfer information, the lymphatic system will be there to drain back all of those fluids, immune cells, toxin, fats, and proteins back into the circulatory system and for immune prevalence. If the lymphatic system is not working now as good as it's supposed to do, now we have a lot of fluids, lots of proteins, lots of toxins accumulating in the tissues, and that's probably not what we want to have. So one way to think about it is like if you are stuck in a rainy day in the city, one thing that you really want to have is an umbrella, but you're also trusting the city to make sure that, you know, the drainage system of the city is working properly so you're not getting wet. But if the draining system is not working, I don't think umbrella will help you in this case, right? So you will get very, very wet. And in fact, what we know is that dysfunctional lymphatic system, whether it's drainage or its architecture, is associated with many age-related pathologies, including Alzheimer's, including autoimmune diseases, chronic wounds that I mentioned, cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, cancers, and more. And so we are trying to understand in my laboratory, can the vascular system really guard stem cell youthfulness? Can the vascular system is the key for us to understand how stem cells can maintain their youth potential? But to answer that question, we have a little hurdle to pass, because the vascular system is a three-dimensional system. And it's a very complex system to visualize under the microscope, as I told you. And so think about it like you're taking an image under the water. There's a lot of structure, beautiful colors, but you can't really see it, right? It's all kind of look very opaque. But we have a way and technology to actually make that opaque picture completely transparent, so we can appreciate the color, the texture, and the architecture of that picture. So in a very similar way, what we're doing is we're taking our skin, which is completely opaque, and turning it to be completely transparent. And now we can visualize those complex structure of the vascular system in the resolution of the intact tissue. And so this is what we were finding in a very surprising way, is that the hair follicle stem cells here in green were tightly associated with the lymphatic vascular system here in red. So now we can look at this in a three-dimensional picture, and you can appreciate how the stem cells are nesting on top of the lymphatics, almost as if it was their cushion, right? But that is very peculiar. And why I'm saying that it's peculiar, because why would you put in your body the most important component, your stem cells, next to a garbage can? it does not make a lot of sense, right? Why would you put this very important component there? So maybe it's only in the hair follicle, but not in any other organ. So we turned to look at other epithelial organ, and in this case, we looked at the intestine because the hair follicle undergoes cycles of activation, but the intestine is constantly regenerating. So maybe there, they actually don't need lymphatics. So again, we employ similar three-dimensional imaging of the vascular system. And so what you can see here is a reconstruction of the vascular system in a three-dimensional way. We could visualize the blood vessels and the lymphatic vessels. And what we were able to find is that the lymphatics really creating a network where the stem cells usually reside. And indeed, we found that the gut stem cells, those that will create and regenerate our intestine, also nesting the lymphatic vascular system. So it's not only true for the hair, it's also true for the intestine. And as opposed to what we were tending to think is that the lymphatic is only a trash system in the body, maybe it's actually the new gold that stem cells really, really need for their regenerative capacity. So is it true? Why are we losing hair as we age? Are we losing the stem cells and then at the end of the day there's no hope? Or are we losing the soil? What really needs to be there to provide those inductive signals for the stem cells to regenerate our organs? So we wanted to ask that question, but it's not a very easy question to ask because in our tissues, we have multiple types of stem cells, as I mentioned. Think about it like a pile of Lego. And within all of this pile of Lego, you have just a small, small, small piece, a few pieces that compose the stem cells. So in the lab, what we are able to do is actually sort all of those stem cells and ask each and every one of that cubes, what are they expressing? What is their identity, and what is happening to them? Are they different between young stem cells and aged stem cells? And the only thing that I really want you to take from that picture is that it's almost identical. When we looked at the age cubes and on the young cubes, they look almost the same, a little bit less, a little bit more, but overall, their identity maintained almost at the same level. Clearly, they do not do what they're supposed to do, and they're not growing hair. So what is happening? What is wrong? Together with my colleague, Yejing Ye, we decided to take this imaging approach because, again, I enjoy looking at those stem cells. And what we were able to see is that in the young stem cells here in green, those young stem cells create a structure that is very important for their behavior. We call it the bulge, the stem cell niche. When we looked at the old stem cells, all of a sudden, they lost this architecture. They completely collapsed into one signal structure and did not maintain the bulge structure as we were expecting to. What I do want to draw your attention to, though, is that the stem cells are still there. So there's still hope. What is happening to the lymphatic, on the other hand? I think you can clearly appreciate that the lymphatic system in the aged skin completely collapse as well. Their structure, their function, their architecture is no longer intact. But what happened about their connection with the stem cells? Are they still connecting with the stem cells? So we took a look at this connection as well. Here, lymphatics are in blue and the stem cells are in yellow. And what we were able to see is that the stem cells are still being nutriented by the blood vessels, but they are very, very far away from the lymphatics. They are no longer nesting lymphatic anymore. In the lab, we're able to use transgenic animal to actually impose that collapse of the structure of the lymphatic vascular system. Using transgenic animals, we are able to express or to remove a protein that comes from the stem cells themselves that regulate lymphatic function. And so we are able to take young skin and turn it basically to almost as if it was an old skin in terms of the lymphatic vascular system. So what is happening to their hair? Normally, we have hair follicles all synchronized at the same stages, but when their lymphatic is collapsing, they're starting to become asynchronized. You can see small follicles with big follicles, and those big follicles that became asynchronous, they also become very fast hyperplastic. At the end of the day, what we found is what you can see here in this picture are basically twins. They were born to the same mom at the same day, the same time. One of them has a completely normal lymphatic system, and the other one has a collapsed lymphatic system. And what we found is that the mouse, even though it's young, that has a collapsed lymphatic system, now starts to lose hair precociously at the time where normally they need to grow hair just as if it was young. So we can speed up aging very fast, but can we actually reverse it? And I think this is what you guys are more interested in. So my colleague actually did a very, very interesting experiment. We took young stem cells and we took old stem cells. We also took the environment that those stem cells reside in, the young environment and the old environment, and now we mixed and matched between them. What we found is that if you take young stem cells and you just put them in an old environment, they're not able to regenerate an organ. They're not able to grow hair anymore. But when you take the old stem cells and you put them simply in a young environment that was sufficient for them to be tricked to think that they're young, to think that now I am a young stem cells and to regenerate an organ and to grow hair. So this is all very exciting, and while we are still in search of what exactly this young environment is doing, we still need to figure out also if it's true in humans. And as part of the vascular theory of aging that put the vascular system at the center of the aging process, vascular aging is a key mechanism for aging. And what has been shown before is that by simply turning your vascular system to just remain fit better, just to become better within your body and not to decline, what they found is that it can delay aging and enhance longevity and lifespan of these mice. So there's much more to be done, and although, you know, if most of you thought or were anxious to get out of here today with the pill to just look better or look younger, aging science takes a long time. And the reason for it is not just because we are interested or waiting for those processes to happen, waiting to see if we can actually delay aging. We also need to make sure that what we're doing is safe. And the reason for that safety is that stem cells can function as a double-edged sword. And when stem cell balance cell behavior is not happening anymore and they are starting to become, their division and cell proliferation is not balanced, then they can create cancer. And so this uncontrolled behavior is something that we are very mindful for, and we need to make sure that whatever we're doing, every manipulation that we're doing is to prevent cancer at the end of the day. What's interesting is that if you're looking at the young tissue, and think about each and every dot in this picture as genetic alternation in stem cells, so those cells have a lot of them, right, even in the young. But the genetic alternation that we see in this picture, what we call mutations, the mutation burden just increase with age. So you can see more and more of those dots, and those dots are bigger, which means that those mutated cells are just growing more and more. But is it sufficient to create cancer? Are these mutations sufficient to create cancer? In fact, if you look, and scientists look at the normal skin and the skin area that is highly exposed to the sun and UV damage, they found lots of mutations there. But thankfully, those tissues were not had not showing any signs of cancer. So there must be something else. There has to be something else that it may be that those mutations are important but not sufficient to create cancer. And maybe the environment, the soil that those mutated cells reside in can actually guide them towards to become young, age, or eventually cancer one. And so what we did in the laboratory is, again, to use genetic animals to disrupt the lymphatic system for a longer time point. And what we found is that those hair follicles that reside in areas with dysfunctional lymphatics became very, very big and turned to be hyperplastic, really suggesting to us that there is something wrong with their ability to control their proliferation. In fact, what we found is that those very, very big follicles, those very big stem cells that could not control their proliferation anymore, were surrounded by the most dilated and dysfunctional lymphatic. Those are the white cells over here. So we're all living in a very exciting time now, because I showed you that lymphatic form a niche for the hair follicle stem cells, for the intestinal stem cells. It's important for the regeneration, for the youthfulness. And although not very stem cell-centric work, others have shown that lymphatic vascular system is important for brain function, heart regeneration, and most recently been discovered to reside also in the bones. So just maybe to put that question up front, maybe actually the fountain of youth runs within us, within our vascular system. And simply what we need to do is to take care of our vascular system much, much better, because the same signal that will transport to our skin will go to our intestine, will go to our liver, will go to each and every one of our organs. And so making those vascular system just much better fit will make those stem cells remain youth. And I want to conclude with an optimistic point of view and to cheer with all of you to life. Growing up in a family that always cheered to life with every happy occasion, I feel that we are work very hard to ensure that living a healthy life for as long as possible will be a question of when and not if. But we all need to remember, or equally importantly, important to remember, that to truly live our life, to make the most of the present, to celebrate successes, to celebrate achievements, and really to live. So with that, really to thank the most important people in my lab that really doing phenomenal work, and I hope that you all will be able to read more about their amazing discoveries in the future. Collaborators, funding resources, and thank you so much for your attention.